I have the privilege and the honor of bringing you today's scripture for the service. If you would all please rise for the reading of the word, it comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it is verses 3 through 21. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray for your continued presence of your Holy Spirit, that you anoint the delivery of your word, Lord, and that it rests on fertile fields, in Jesus' name. Starting in verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions. Unless wranglings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, these things shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in their destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only Pontifex, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good. Let them be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just ask for the remaining moments. You speak to our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our spirits. The words you want us to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The fast is almost over. But not yet. I hope that as you went through this time, that you were able to hear from God. Maybe even some of you see him in your mind's eye and in your spirit's eye. I hope that you're propelled to maybe throughout the year have your own fasts, where you sit back, dial in, and pray and talk to God and hear from God. When Pastor James was reading and giving the announcements, he was going over a lot of the things that were talked about in the fast and what we were to pray for. And I want to continue with that. What happened to me during the fast was powerfully emotional because God got to my heart. I got past the worrying about food, which is what I typically do every year. And I began to focus on Christ and him I focused. And consequently, my prayer took on a whole different tone this year. The things that I just followed the script to, and the things I followed took me into deep and awesome places in Him. So I started thinking about the church, because we prayed for the church during the fast. And as I prayed about the church, things come out to me that we've talked about revival in the church forever. And God begins to speak to my heart, and He says, it has to begin with you, speaking to me. Not because I'm anything great, it's just because of a position I hold. He says, this revival that you pray for has to begin with you. I heard that. And it begins with Sally. I heard that. I have to allow God to do something in me that I'm revived. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, bring me to the place I need to be. Put me on my face before You. I give You my sin. I give You my faults. I give You my errors. And I give it to You in Jesus' name, knowing full well You take it from me and hold it against me no more. I pray that You breathe fresh life into me, that I might do Your will, do Your purpose, do Your good work. I pray that in Jesus' name. I pray that You pour into me a spirit of boldness to speak the truth of who You are. I pray that in Jesus' name. But I'm not in this alone. I have brothers and sisters in Christ. I have elders that I report to, and they are next. And I come to You in the name of Jesus. I lift up every elder and their wife in our church in Jesus' name. I think of Craig and Jeannie, and I pray that You bring them to the place of repentance where it needs to be done in Jesus' name. I pray that You bring them to the place of worship and healing in Jesus' name. Change them and breathe life into them like never before in Jesus' name. I think of Mark and Jean, and I lift them up, and I pray You bring them to the place of repentance in Jesus' name, and breathe the life of revival into their hearts, their soul, their mind, and their spirit. Transform us all and change us in Jesus' name. I lift up Bill and Donna to You. And Father, I pray that You bring them to their knees, to the place of repentance, where they call out to You, Jesus, and say, I am a sinner in need of forgiveness, and forgive them and forgive them in Jesus' name. Let them make that their prayer. And Father, breathe the life of the Holy Spirit into the elders. In Jesus' name, I think of my brother Mike and sister Shelley, and I pray right now that You breathe the spirit of repentance into them in Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. Transform the heart and breathe life in all of us. I pray in Jesus' name. And it's not just the elders. There's 7 pastors that we have here, or function as pastors in this church. I think of Pastor Donnie and Judy, and I pray that You bring Donnie and Judy to their knees, that they would confess before You their sin, and that they would receive the forgiveness that You have, and You would transform them even once again in this place. He is an example in this church, and we call on You, Lord Jesus, to bring Donnie and Judy to their knees and bring revival and breathe life into them in Jesus' name. I think of Pastor Tracy and Jim, and I pray for the Spirit of God to bring them to a place of repentance in Jesus' name, and breathe the life of the Holy Spirit into them and transform them in Jesus' name. Make them new, I pray in Jesus' name. I think of Pastor Tim and Janice. Bring them to their knees in repentance, I pray in Jesus' name. Forgive their sin, wash them clean, and breathe life that You breathe into each of us in Jesus' name. Father God, in Jesus' name, I lift up my brother and my sister, James and Jill. Bring them to the place where they fall on their faces before You because they saw who You were. They read who You were, and Your Spirit convicted them. Bring them to that place and then restore them. And breathe the life of the Holy Spirit in them. Transform them, renew them, revive them. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. I lift up Dave and Kathy Payette in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the Spirit of God so bring them to a place of repentance. that they be free from the sin that they carry, and that the Spirit of God would so rebuild them and refill them and refire them. In Jesus' name, let revival come to Dave and Kathy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think of Melissa and Mike. Lord, and I pray right now in the name of Jesus, you'd bring them to the place where they see who you are at a greater level. That you would pour by your Spirit into them and heal them and revive them. I pray this in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. And for every person sitting in this room, that the Spirit of God would bring you to a place of repentance. Because if we don't go to the place of repentance, we don't hear from God. When we take the sin that is in us and we give it up to Him, that wall, that thing that separates us, is torn down, and we begin to hear from God. And when we begin to hear from God, we begin to see Him in our spirit's eye. And we begin to see who He is. We are brought to the place of repentance. And when you come to the place of repentance and you allow God to cleanse you, you allow God to change you, you allow God to fill you by His Spirit, then revival comes to the church. And the church no longer looks the same, behaves the same, acts the same, is the same. Holy Spirit, do that work in this church, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now, right where you're sitting, I want you to pray out loud, right where you're at, for what you need to have done in your life. I pray that in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I pray that. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I come before our families, and I lift up every one of us in this place, in our families. I lift up our children, and Lord Jesus, I give you the right in Jesus' name. By the authority that you've given this position, I give you the right to speak to my family and share who you are by your Spirit with them in Jesus' name. Father, for the people in this church, I give you the right to hound them, to go after them and show the love that you have and pour that love into them. I pray that in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, speak to this church. Speak to the leadership. Speak to the leadership, I pray in Jesus' name. Speak to the people in the chairs. And Father, for the visitor who's sitting in their seat saying, what am I into here? What happened? Why did we? I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you show them who you are. Yes. And I come against every lie that they believed in the past in Jesus' name. And I pray that a spirit of love so fill them that it brings them to their knees and they call out to you. I pray that the reality of salvation become known to them this day. In Jesus' name. And let life come to them. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing visitors to our home. Thank you for people that want to become a part of this family. I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Now, Father, I pray for this church in the direction of it. Let us not deviate from what you have called us to do. But instead, let us go forward fully in doing what you have called us to do. I think of life groups, as Pastor James talked about earlier, that your hand would be upon it, and that the understanding and the growing and the knowledge of your word in relationship with one another by the Spirit of God become more evident than ever before.
Yes.
I pray that in Jesus' name. I think of Celebrate Recovery and their groups, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you touch the leadership and you touch the people that go, that the things that held them back be no more in Jesus' name. Set them on a path and a plan to rid themselves from the roots. Take an axe to the root of those things that hurt and harm people. So I come against the sin. I come against the addictions. I come against the personality flaws and things that have happened because of what's happened in their life. I come against all that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Heal them and grow that ministry. I think of the children's and youth ministries of this church, that every parent that's here that has children or grandchildren, that you equip them to speak life and truth into those children. And I pray that in Jesus' name. I pray for a spirit of love from parent to child to grow as never before, greater than ever before. And I pray not only for the grandchildren, but the great-grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren to the fourth, to the fifth, to the sixth generations that you pass down. I pray in Jesus' name. And I pray that you bless the moms and the dads. Lord, equip them to speak love to their kids. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let us who are broken be mended and healed. Let us who are broken be restored.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Let us think in the spirit where we're whole and victorious. But let us ebb and grow as we walk in this flesh, day by day by day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you direct and guide this church to where you want it to go. I thank you for 21 days of really minimal sacrifice compared to your sacrifice for us. I thank you for the opportunity to fast and to talk to you, to be able to hear from you. I pray that for everybody here, that you can hear from God. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, if there's anybody that's frightened about what they heard this day, give them peace. They're going to be okay. And give us peace. And if you heard a hard word about repentance, I just want to make it clear. Pastor Donnie said, preach hard. After years and years and years of saying, don't forget about grace, he finally said, preach hard. This is good, hard prayer. And it's good for our soul. And it's good for our spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Amen. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you.
Come on, church, sing with us one time. Sing.
It's all about you,
I'm sorry,
Jesus.
Lord.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made.
It's all about you, yeah.
When it's all about you.
It's all about you, Lord.
It's all about you. I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
It's all about you.
And it's all about you.
All about you, yeah.
It's all about you.
Sorry,
Jesus.
Lord.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made.
It's all about you.
When it's all about you.
Triumphant praise. Hey,
yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving in us. Wow. The good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. We heard songs about this is how we fight our battles. Uh-oh. I walk to you in trust.
If you don't pray for the deacons, we may have rebellion.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot the deacons. I was off the list after the first paragraph.
There you go.
Pastor Donnie just said the deacons don't need it. They're already good. I don't know how that came about. Truly, a foundational part of this church is the work of the deacons and their wives. And doggone it, you guys need to repent. So, thank you, Donnie. He comes carrying that cane. I wonder what's going to happen when you get to heaven. Is Moses going to come up to you and say, I want it back? When I was going through the list, this is very true. I was up. I get up really early because it's really the only quiet time in my world that I can prepare for the message. But I was still in the fast prayer, and one of the then Sally and I went for a drive up to the sand dunes to see the ice and all the stuff that's going on. It was beautiful. But when we were in the car, we started to pray for the people that have impacted our lives for Christ, and all of a sudden, people started coming out from the past that. They had an impact on us. And we start praying the names, and I was like, can't hardly see to drive. It was a bright, sunny day, and I'm just weeping at the wheel. But there are names. Bill and Julie Magoon. Gary and Holly Wattier. Bill and Donna Varney, way back in the day when Bill had hair. Donnie and Judy Olson. Oh, man, in the list. Jim and Maxine Erickson. Julie Zahn, even before I knew her, she impacted us. And how cool it is to see people like that still here. Bill and Joanne Schmidt. I don't even hardly know them. They're just here. He's full of laughs. She's business. She used to sing in the choir up here. But they had an impact. And I'm saying, Sally, why? What's the matter with me? Why is it like this? Because they were faithful. Elaine and Jim Miller. Oh, my goodness. I speak in tongues because of Elaine Miller. No, really. I speak in tongues because of the Holy Spirit. But she had the wherewithal to lead me in a good direction. So God moved through people in this church, and I pray that he continues. And at some point, I'm going to have to start talking about this lesson. Thank you, people. Think back who's had the impact on your life. Because when I look at the fight of good faith, I looked at them, and they're an example because they fought the fight. And you know how they did it? They did it in love. They did it in faithfulness. And they did it because Christ was king in their life. He was the love of their life. He was Lord of their life. So for that, we say thank you. In 1 Timothy 6:3, it says, anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes, arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil spirits, or evil suspicions. This faith that we have is the only faith that leads to the Father. There is no other faith. There's others that are counterfeits, and there's teachings out there that are false. There's self-help. They make you feel good. And there's just all kinds of things out there, but they are contrary to Christ. And when people say God, sometimes they're not referring to the same God that you and I refer to as believers. They make you think it's the same God, but it's not. If the name of God is the great I am, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, which we sang about today, that's the God that we serve. He is the Ancient of Days. He is before all things. He always was, never created, always existed. And there's teachings that come along to diminish that thought, that understanding. So Timothy is hearing from Paul about come against that. Come against the teaching of the Gnostics. The Gnostics were the super smart people of the day, intellectually. But nothing in the heart. And nothing that would lead to salvation. How do I know that? Because in mankind there is no good thing in us. None of us. So if you're miserable because I'm saying you're a sinner and there's no good thing in you, well, you're like the rest of mankind. That's all of us. And for that reason, a Savior needed to be sent to us. And that was the work of Christ, who leaves his crown in heaven, basically, and comes down to earth in the most humble of circumstances. And at the end, he becomes our sin and takes the beating and the punishment and the death that sin cost. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And Christ came back to pay that debt. And then he said, whoever believes in him and the work that he did would not perish but have everlasting life. We would be with him in eternity. Even the cross, the criminal on the cross beside him, knew that he was the one. And he chastised the other one for mocking him. And he said, this man has done nothing wrong. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't do our studies. He didn't get baptized. He didn't follow all the rules that you're supposed to follow. But where is he today? He is with the King of Kings. He is with the Lord of Lords. So Paul's job was to tell Timothy to come against these people who teach lies, doctrines of demons like we talked about before. Come against it. And fight the good fight that we sang about earlier. We fight them with each other, but mostly we fight them with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a spirit of love that comes. 1 Timothy 1:4 says, as I urge you when you went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Yes, there are people teaching doctrines of demons. We talked about that last week. And it causes divisions in the church. Jesus said that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He spoke that to a demon. To demons. And he's telling us a body, a group, a church cannot stand divided. We have to be united. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? To bring us to the place that we're part of the body of Christ. We be in the body. We are called the bride of Christ. Where God joins with us. I know what it sounds like, but I know what it is. And I'm excited. My title, if you will, is Child of the King. What's your title? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the same title I do. I'm not greater than you. You're not greater than me. We are children of the King. And with our titles, there's position. We have royalty. Not only do we have titles, but we have royalty. We have position. We have work to do. We are co-heirs with the Father. We are co-heirs with Christ. Doing what? His work is what we should be about. That's our family. That's the family of God. That's where we ought to be. Not divided, getting hung up in disputes and arguments over Scripture. That's not from God. In fact, he tells us not to do that. Walk away from it. Study the truth. Study Christ. Know who he is. He is the lover of our soul. That's verse 1. Wow. And then he begins to slide. Paul begins to slide from this hanging on to the faith and moving into a place where he begins to talk about one of the biggest things that trip us up. And he talks about some of the false teachers who they do their work for evil gain. They do their work for money. And you're going to see in this thing that money becomes a really big deal. And Paul addresses it pretty well. Money should not be the focus of our lives. It's something we need to sustain ourselves. It's something we need to get through. It's a tool. But too many times we've made it God. And I would say every person in this room at one point or another has wrestled with that very thing. I know I have. And we don't call it God, but it truly has first place in our lives. We have to take an inward look. Is it really more important than God? Is my salvation and money? I understand that it can get me things that I like. I understand that it gets me some of my needs met, but is it the sustainer of us? And I have to take a look. We all have to take a look. But there's men that tried to profit off of this. Selling idols. We've talked about that in the past. Selling things to make money. Selling sacrifices so people could purchase them to make the sacrifices they needed to make in the Old Testament. And they would profit from it. And they would overcharge. And it would be all about money. And you can bet your bottom dollar that everything that we hear happening in Washington, for the most part, money is the root to a lot of what we see happening there. I hate to say it. So I have to pick the what? The lesser of two evils. That's how my mind works. That's me, personally. You don't have to think that way. Which one will vote for the things that I think are righteous versus which ones vote and push the things that are of the world? I make those decisions based on those things. But money is always a place. Hospitals, empty people. People with mental health issues before they should be left out. And why? Because of money. People get treatment less than what they would have ordinarily received. Why? Because of money. He's going to come after these things, and Timothy is going to stand up. In verse 6, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Like I said, money is an issue. We need to deal with it. We need money to function in lots of ways. But am I content in the position that I'm in my station in life? Am I content with where I am? Or do I have angst over finances, over money? And to be perfectly honest, I've struggled with finances. I've struggled with the issue of money. I can joke about it now, but there was a time where it was really so important that it would cause anxiety in me. I didn't have enough. I never complained about having too much, though. Learn to be content in where you are concerning money. Philippians 4:11 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased or in want, and I know how to abound with plenty. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." That's Paul talking to Timothy. I'm sorry, that's Paul talking to the Philippians. Is that true for you? We have to look at that. I have to look at it. If getting rich is your goal, there's some things you should know. What you gain and what you make in terms of resources, whether it's material things, financial things, anything, you can't keep it. That's a rule. You just can't keep it. Sometimes you lose it while you're here. And there's not too many men in the truck on their way following a hearse off to heaven. You know, I'm just saying, the stuff, you can't take it with you. And people try, believe me. The super smart. I mean, smart like their head's going to explode smart because they have so many brains. Well, here's what we could do. You can take my brain out and you can freeze it. And in 50 years when they figure it all out, you can bring me back to life. Put me in a fresh body. Somebody got in a car accident and they lost their brain, and put me in a good one. And then I can live, and I'll know how to live forever. I mean, people go to those extremes. Why? Because they're hopeless. They have no real hope. Go to the flip side. People are dying many times. And Donnie, you probably know this more than most, but many times people are saying, "I just want to be done. Take me. I want to go home to be with Jesus right now." That things of earth have grown so dim to them that they cannot wait to see their Savior. What a perspective change, right? And then there's some that go fighting and scratching and clawing because their faith is a little weak. I'm somewhere in between them. I'm not saying take me now. I've got stuff I want to do. But you know what? If I see Jesus in a greater way in which I do now, I might be saying the same thing. It says in his word that the Spirit, I'm going to lose this verse. I can't believe I lost this verse. It's one of the easiest one. "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." When I'm set free by the Son of God, because he's shown himself to me, I realize, one, who I am, but also where my hope lies. And I know where I'm going. All right, God, I'm ready. Take me. Take me. If you could bring my wife with me, that'd be pretty cool. Take me. We have to look at it like that and have a different perspective, if you will. Can't take it with you. It says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Verse 7. You can't take it with you. The only thing you can actually take with you into heaven are souls that you saved. And not that you saved. God did the saving. But you took the responsibility to share the truth with them. Whether they receive it or not is their business. But if they're up there in heaven, that means you planted a seed and they received it. And salvation came to them. And if it's a man or a woman, came to their home, hopefully. It's the great gift. What a beautiful thing. In Job 121, it says, he says, "Naked I came in from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gives, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Second thing in that, you'll encounter powerful temptations and desires and traps. If money is your objective. 6:9 says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition." Out of control lust ruin lives. They ruin marriages. And they ruin families. Children and families where that kind of destruction has come lose identity and who they are. Sally LeClaire, 2019, told me that one. Mark 6:13 says, "And do not we pray this prayer. This is the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. I don't need the temptation that money brings. I'm so good at this, understanding this, that we have other people counting the tithes and offerings. I have nothing to do with it. Don't tell me who's giving. Don't tell me who's not giving. I don't want it to pollute my thinking. And by the way, there's an accountability there. I better make sure I'm giving. They know who's giving and I'm not giving. So let us each give, and this is 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Why can't we give away to people who need? Why are we not good givers? Because money's a problem for us. I love people that give more than they have. And they got to say, hey, slow your roll. There's still a right way to handle money. Don't give it all away. Pay your bills. Oh, but I did this because this person needed this. But you didn't pay your bills? You didn't pay what you owe? Don't do that. Pay your bills. Be good with your money. Be a good steward of it. Do you give beyond what you're required to give? Are you giving to missionaries? Are you giving to people that are doing the good work in foreign lands, sharing the gospel? Pastor James read the list of our missionaries that are connected to this church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Third thing is you may wander from the faith. And this is a scary one. You may be choked from the weeds and the thorns of this world, the cares of this world. You'll experience great sorrow if money becomes your foundational thing. If money is where your heart is, then it's money that will break your heart. For the love of money, it says in verse 10, is the root of all kinds of evil. There is nothing evil concerning money in and of itself. It is the love of money that is the root. When Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon, you can't serve God and money, what he's saying here is mankind will make money a god over him. And he tells us in the Old Testament that he is a jealous God. And he's a righteous God. And he punishes. He will have no other gods before him, he says. Don't let money be your god. You guys are probably in a hurry for me to get off that one. But there's a good confession. 6:11 says, but you, O man of God. By the way, is Edward here? Edward's not here. Edward always calls me man of God. And whenever he says that to me, I just feel good. I just feel good when he says, O man of God. Pastor, man of God. And then he begins to pray in his other language. In tongues, not Swahili or anything like that. Oh, man of God. Well, I'm going to hear it to tell you right now, if you're a believer in Christ, you are a man of God or you are a woman of God. Amen. And we should be about his business. That's all. It validates us. Because we're his. Luke 2:15 says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Flee things, it said in 6:11. Now it says, in Luke it says, it doesn't consist of anything valuable. Abundance of things that one possesses is not the answer for mankind. Don't let it be the answer for you. I urge you, verse 13, in the sight of God who gives life to all things, before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession, before Pilate. What is he saying here? That he is the good confession. I confess to you that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, what about this? Yeah, what about it? Jesus Christ is Lord. But I learned in school some other things. What did you learn in school? I learned what we evolved from. How much of that did you learn? How far back did you go? Did you see the nonsense in it, or did you just accept it at face value? People can spin a good story and they can put a lot of emphasis on different things and sway you. But what's the reality? He is God. He is Lord. He is the good confession. We speak of who he is, not where we evolve from. The reason why I say evolution and I talk about evolving is because that's the only other theory out there, unless you go to aliens. If you go to aliens that brought us here, you run into the same problem. Where'd they come from? And I'm telling you, you have this conversation with the smartest of people. I mean, high IQs, 160 guys, and they can't get it. They can't get it. They can't get it because there's a veil over their eyes, because there's pride in their life, and they want to be God to some extent. Pastor James, if you can come up with your team, that would be great. I can see people starting to yawn, so I'll hurry up. Who is this great confession? Well, he's the great I am. He is Jesus. That's the great confession. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And when he spoke to those who were coming against him in the garden, and they said, and he used the words, I am he, they fell back. But he willingly went to the sacrifice. He is the good confession. He and he alone. And then he gives some instructions to the rich, because those who are rich have, I think, a greater struggle, greater temptation. And he speaks to those things. He tells us not in verse 17 not to trust in riches. But in verse 18 he says, let them do good works that they be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Why? Because in Ephesians 2:10 it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That doesn't save us, but that's the purpose for why we were created, was to do good works. What are the works? That others would come to know him. And at the very end of this whole thing, he tells Timothy once again, he says, guard your faith. And because Timothy was a pastor over pastors in Ephesus, which is today Turkey, he says, guard your faith, because many will come to rob the faith. If they rob the faith, people never come to know. If people never come to know who he is, they perish. The task of guarding the faith is a big deal. It is a big deal in the days of Timothy. It is a big deal today. In this church, it is a huge deal to guard the faith, because many things come against the faith that we have in Christ. Many things. And we cannot deviate from the truth of his word. Why do we do life groups? Because people will learn the word of God. Why do we do life groups? Because people will be able to share the confession of faith, will be able to share the truth of who Jesus is. Why do we do life groups? Because people will be able to go to places where the gospel hasn't been heard, and they will be able to speak it, because every week they speak of what they learned from the scripture of that week. Why do we have Celebrate Recovery? Because people will get the word of God to help them where they're at in their place in life, through their pain, their hurt, their obsessions, their problems, their issues. So why do we go to CR? Because they'll take that word and apply it to their life, and it will change them. So why do we have Celebrate Recovery? Because they will go to talk to other people who are broken and desperately hurting. For what purpose? That they would come to get healing, and that they would come to know who Christ is. They would know the good confession. Why do we have such a big deal about children in this church and youth ministries in this church? Because we need to lay a foundation in those kids, that the seeds that are planted in them would come to fruition. That's why. That's why we have these ministries. So I put a charge one more time. We're going to take communion in 2 minutes here. Charge one more time to the church to pray for, to involve yourself in any of those three things I just spoke of, whether it be life groups, whether it be Celebrate Recovery, or whether it be helping out in children's ministry, that the seed would plant. And my prayer for you is every parent here in this room that has a child that's gone the wrong way, it's most of us, pray that the seed that you planted in them grow. Trust that the seed that you planted in them will grow. And the fruit will be salvations for the ones we love the most. In Jesus' name. We're going to take communion. The ushers are going to lead you back. You're going to grab your elements back to your seat. The only requirements for communion is you have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Nobody wrote it down. Nobody knows what you're thinking or feeling. But that is the thing. The Bible says that to take it in an unworthy manner, means you bring judgment on yourself. So how do you make yourself worthy if you feel you're unworthy? We just prayed about repenting. But if you'd never heard of Jesus Christ before and you never said, I want him to be Lord of my life, ask him to be Lord, right where you're sitting, to yourself. Ask him to be Lord of your life. Ask him to take your sin. Because what he takes away, he holds against you no more. And you are free. But you're also a child of the God once you make him Lord of your life. You can do that right in your seat. You're going to take your elements back to your seat, and we're going to take communion together. We'll be done in 8 minutes. You're dismissed to go get communion. The ushers will lead you.
Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted.
You were
condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Yeah. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to a wretch like
was lost.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
I was blind.
Was blind, but now I see.
When we've been there.
When we.
Our fast. Isn't that exciting? I can't think of a better way to break a fast than with communion. So one of the groups I did not mention in the end was our Able Church and disabilities ministries happening throughout the church and where we're growing and getting training in these areas. And why do we go to the people with disabilities? So they can hear the gospel and hear the truth. So we can hear the truth and the gospel from them.
Amen. Amen.
And with that said, I'm going to have the leaders of that ministry pray over the elements. So in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I received the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Janice, if you could pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank you so much for the sacrifice you made for us. I know we really have no clue what you went through. The physical pain, the humiliation, the separation from the Father. Even though we really don't understand it, Lord, we do want to thank you. We thank you for allowing your body to be broken so that we can be made whole. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to look on the sacrifice that your Son made for us. The sacrifice so that we could be one with you and so that we could be one with one another. So Heavenly Father, I pray right now as we take this emblem, this symbol of your Son's broken body, I pray that you would pour out your grace upon us and upon every church that lifts up the name of Jesus, that you would give us the grace to love you and to love one another with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us take the bread together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Tim?
Dear Heavenly Father, as we share in taking this symbol of the blood of Jesus, we're reminded of how that blood washes whiter than snow. How it takes the vilest of sinners and makes him new. That gives him a right standing before the Father, all because of Jesus' obedience to the Father by sacrificing himself, by shedding his blood on that cross. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful. Jesus, we're so thankful for that obedience and for that sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us take the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for a spirit of celebration as we walk out these doors. I pray for a spirit of challenge to what you have given us over the last 21 days. I pray for a spirit of unity as we leave this place. And let us not forget the importance of talking to you and hearing from you as we go. Now bless each family here in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. No, I didn't. Did I dismiss? Play them out. You can play them out.
Share.